Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And this is a glorious, wonderful day that the Lord our God has made. And he's doing glorious things in it. Today is June. It is a Tuesday, June the 7th, 2022. Tuesday, June the 7th, 2022. I have to look at my calendar. One day I have to say it the wrong day. Anyway, God loves us, and it's a glorious day that he made. Now, the Lord put some very interesting things on my heart. This morning he reminded me what he told me years ago when he showed me a vision. He said, "Let not my people lack knowledge." And today he said something interesting. Earlier today he said, "Only my people will hear you." And he didn't send me to tell everybody, or let he didn't say make sure everybody lacks knowledge. He said, "Let not my people lack knowledge." So the reason I'm saying this is I learned something today, and it's been forming. The Lord's been helping me see something that I never saw before. When the word is spoken, it goes right back to the parable of the sower. The sower sowed the word, and people responded differently, didn't they? It fell some seeds fell among the wayside, the hard ground. And it didn't bear fruit at all. The birds came and got it. So some people, their heart is set to reject the word. Then there are those that sow the seeds that are sown among thorns. They do good for a while. Then when trouble comes, they just throw up their hand. "I quit. I give up." Or they just go back and hide. And I've seen people, their opinions against God forms. And they're not like they used to be. I've seen these things all along the course of my life. I told my cousin once, I said, when people love sin, they mean it. They're not kidding. They mean it. It's the choice that they made, and they stick with it when they get to that point. Then they see some among the thorns, the cares of this world, troubles, strifes. It chokes the word. So even though they receive the word, the enemy's taking just as, it's choked out by their divided attention span. Their mind is on this world, this pleasure. What I got to do, what I got to pay, frustrations, worries, concerns. And they fall short and they can't bear fruit. Now, I used to think that people that didn't bear fruit, they still in the kingdom of God. Actually, the fruit that the Lord is talking about, you got to go, scripture interprets scripture. In St. John 15, God is clear about bearing fruit. And it's all, he was consistent about it. In St. John 15, turning there, he said, "I am the true vine. My Father's the husbandman." He's the gardener, okay? He's the farmer. "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, what is he talking about? This is the lifestyle character of Jesus. Only pure things can come from God. So why wouldn't a branch that belongs to God not bear fruit? That doesn't make sense, does it? Unless it's not God's branch. If it comes from God, it'll be in his likeness. Our lives are designed to live and operate just like God does. And when we allow, by our own free will, to choose things that's not fruit, that causes us not to be fruitful, that's not God's fault. That's our choice. I'm not saying that you choose such. But it's up to people to be a good branch and bear fruit, or a bad branch and bear no fruit. This is not talking about, you know, I have to say stuff that I normally wouldn't say because the enemy will torment people. There are some couples, they don't have children. Something's wrong with their body and they're not having children. That's not what I'm talking about. I never would have thought about a person thinking that way, but the enemy will accuse people of something that's not their fault. And to get rid of the stupidity, Satan'll attack anybody on anything. He has no rules. He's crazy. I'm not talking about having children, even though God said be fruitful and multiply. Okay, that's true. But what he's talking about something. When he said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply, he was talking about much more than just having children. I'm sorry, people just took it to mean that means have children and repopulate the earth. He said refill the earth. Now he showed us that the clues. Every tree, every plant bears fruit after its type. So if you're going to have a child, and God told Abraham, he told Abraham this. He said, be perfect. I think it was chapter 17. Because by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And you want him to be like you. And he was. God told Abraham to be perfect. Now, you know, I refer to scripture so much, and sometimes I leave out detail, so I'm going to go back to it. Make sure it was chapter 17. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, 17. Let's read it. Well, I found it. Genesis 17 and 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram, said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. You see that? He's going to multiply and exceed. This is a pivotal point in Abraham's life. Be perfect. If God called you to the ministry, knowing that you're going to bear fruit before people, this applies to the ministry too. Be like Jesus. Be perfect. Bear fruit. Because people, if you're raising children, you need to be on the up and up. You need to be honest. You need to have integrity. You need to be a hard worker. Everything that your life need to line up. You need to have your life so that you can spend time with them. You know, having young children trying to work two jobs is not the way to go. Sometimes it happens against people that way. But children need their parents in those first early years. You need to be in the house with them. You need to be around them. They need to see you. They need to see you praying. They need to see you talking about the things of God. They need to see you working hard, keeping things clean, keeping things up. And then the understanding of why we should do what we should do will be in their heart. And see, if you leave children to themselves, well, whatever they think is good is good. You know, I give you a natural example. Some children don't want to clean their room, take a bath, or wash their face. And they'll wear dirty clothes, too. And see nothing wrong with it. They're just as happy. Because they live in an environment where there's no order. So, you're going to have other problems, such as bugs, disarray. And you take disorder with you. But if you When I used to do movie night, I used to make them take a bath, get cleaned up, and I clean the room up. I make them put up their clothes. Then they could enjoy watching a movie in a clean house, in a clean environment. But see, if they're left to themselves, they just do whatever. And then when they become adults, they do whatever. And then when they marry somebody, it's frustrating when your spouse won't clean up. So children, that's just one example. Now, what if it comes to the things of God? You got to be dedicated to God before your children. And that's very important. Dedicationism has a place, and they need to see it. You can't just teach it. You have to example it. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Now, so he told Abram to be perfect. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. You see that? An everlasting possession. And the wicked won't be around to claim Israel. The meek will inherit the earth. But Israel will be Israel forever. For an everlasting, and I thank God that he did these things. I'm glad Israel is going to get to stay in that land forever. He said, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which thou shalt keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. All right. Now, I want to go back to Colossians. Now, circumcision was one of those road signs that pointed to our covenant with Christ. And the word also talks about being circumcised in the heart. The reason I went to chapter 17 was because we bear fruit after our type, after our likeness. And you must choose to yield to the Lord so that his perfection can operate through you. What is his perfection? First of all, the blood of Jesus made us righteous. That's how we became righteous. So whatever we did in the past is forgotten and gone. The blood of Jesus washed our sins away. It's gone. We have no more sin. Now, we still got to renew our mind to be totally free from it and walk in the light of God's word, which will keep us clean. But our righteousness came from God, not what we do, not our deeds. Our deeds don't make us righteous. Our deeds reflect our righteousness. And that's very important to understand. Our deeds reflect our righteousness. And that's it. It doesn't make you righteous. If you weren't righteous by the blood of Jesus, you need to get saved and be righteous. Now, the world is on the outside looking in without a godly understanding. And Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father the husbandman. Every branch of me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So if you're a clean branch, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus and you're not bearing fruit, you're doing something on purpose against God. You are designed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Jesus said, let your light shine. You don't have to make it shine. There's nothing wrong when you... There's no hindrances to you bearing fruit. unless you choose not to. You have to choose to do something satanic as a way of life, as a lifestyle. If you know you've done something wrong, the Holy Spirit will give you, you'll get that check in your spirit, and you say, hey, something wrong. He'll alert you so you can repent, so you can get fixed whatever's wrong. And if you see something going wrong, you can ask God for help, and he'll help you. But wicked people will not keep covenant. They never have, and they never will. That's the only reason a man that's born again can't bear fruit. It's because he chose not to. Now, let's get into something else. He said, verse 3, he said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. And he said, abide in me and I in you, as much as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. When people stop abiding in the vine, the life of God, they cut off the life flow of God to them. And then the world, they start, just like a yard, if you do something to get rid of grass, weeds are going to come up. We receive God's word and meditate on it and hear it, and then we can live by faith, by choice. But if it's not your choice, then something else is going to happen. Now, this is important to understand, because when people back off the word of God, when they back off the things of God, they stop having appetite for it. Verse, some people stop wanting correct. They don't want correction anymore. And they find a church that'll condone whatever it is they're doing. This is how the devil caused the church to fall away. They have false desires, persuasions, and then they have false logic. And then they protect it. And then their hearts harden, and they become something else. And when the real word of God is spoken in a rightly divided way, they're offended for the word's sake. They're offended at it. See, you can't untie the life of God from God. If you have strife against your brother, you got to have strife against God too, because that's not the flow of God. You're living a life in rebellion. And some people are not aware of the damage that strife can do. It can cause you to be cut off, just like an uncircumcised man of covenant. It'll cause you not to be circumcised in the heart anymore. That's important. And you can't look at the deeds that you do, because now that's salvation by works. It's no good. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We relay what God gives us to others. Not only our words and ministry things, songs and words, messages, but the character we live is also fruit. And it's a louder voice sometimes. He said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So when it's bad when people are not bearing fruit. And it's because of the will of their own heart and mind. They chose not to. And everybody that bears fruit, they chose to yield to the Lord and bear fruit. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. It pleases the Father when we represent him, when we receive his life and share it with others. He's glorified. And ye bear much fruit that way. So shall you be my disciples, and you'll be known to be his disciples, and you'll be hated by the world, of course. Now, Satan's not just going to sit back and watch all this wonderful stuff just happen without some form of interference. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We do what we see Jesus do. And people do what they see us living like Jesus, and they join us because we're bearing fruit. Then he said this, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. They go, oh, why does it always go back to love? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, he also said this before I move on. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. We are friends. And then he said this, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should bring forth fruit. So if you're ordained to bring forth fruit, why would you not bring forth fruit? Then he said this, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. He said it again. If the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you are the world will love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So, this is the purpose of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to prove that people, it's going to prove people that love the world. He's going to make it mandatory to follow him. And only people who hate God are going to do it. Now, why would people come to that point? Now, this is what I wanted to get to. Why would they get to such a low point in life? And I want to answer it the best I know. It's because of leaven. They started loving the world somewhere. He said, see, leaven is like a drop of water in the tub, but it keeps dripping. After a while, it's going to fill that tub. Just like water fills a tub, that leaven will fill a man's heart. If the enemy keep giving them one thought after another and they keep receiving it, and their heart get, when they, anything of the world will do the trick. It can be strife. That'll cause you to become miserable. It can be envy. That'll cause a person to become miserable. It can be greed. That will cause a person to become miserable. It can be lust. That will cause a person to become miserable. See, when in Revelation it said, Jesus said it to the Laodicean church, that they were miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And they didn't know it. It happened over time because they stopped the process of the covenant. They stopped bearing fruit. They stopped living by the love of God. That's how it happened. That's the short version of how it happened. Their love changed. When your love changes, everything changes. When your focus changes, everything changes. When your focus is not the love of God, when you start getting in strife with people, you entered another path. You left the narrow path into another path throughout the wilderness, and it'll look like the same path for a while, but it's wrong. When you leave the path for lust, you start peeping at the computer or cell phone or something. That thing's going to become a god to you. I said, Lord, what is it with lust? He said, the enemy tempts men to worship a woman's body. And then the heart gets harder and harder. Any sin will do this, not just lust and greed and pride and things like anything. Bitterness, a root of bitterness can trouble people. Now, let's go on a different track now. So it bothered me. How could one people that were once fervent in Christ become an enemy against him? Friendship with the world would do that trick. It will cause you to be the enemy of God. See, James put it this way, James 4. He said it real, he spelled it out right here in verse 4. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, men and women, know ye not that friendship with the world, the friendship of the world, is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It can't be reversed, folks. See, the life flow of God comes through us. We're born again. We got a clean heart. The life of God is flowing. Our mind is on him. So he give us thoughts. He give us his word. We love his word enough to take time and study it. And that's not, again, please understand, when I say study the word and think on the Lord, that's not salvation by works. That's just your love for life. When you pray and study the word and think on the things of God, that's a privilege, folks. That's a blessing. It's not even work. But I want to show you how the enemy came in like a flood. Well, first like a drip and then like a flood. Now, pay attention to Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Now watch what he explains in chapter 1. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is become unto you as it is in the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye so also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So they're doing good, folks. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I remember Kenneth Hagin, I read a book. When he read that, that's when he started really walking with the Lord in a greater way. And the church, he prospered and the church did too, because he prayed this on his congregation. See, the life of God will do what the word says it'll do, and gives us a tremendous advantage. Okay, verse 10, he said that you walk for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that's what it's supposed to be like. We're designed to multiply, be fruitful and multiply in every way. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us fit, meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. You see that? That's the power of Jesus. Whether by thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. I love it. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that ye were sometimes alienated by the enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is powerful, folks. if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. That's your choice. See, faith, anytime you see faith, that represents the choice of your heart, because faith is a definer, and it will define anything that's corrupt into life. And it'll take the corruptness out and put life in its place and redefine everything about your life by the power of Jesus. If you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and to which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, if you, in your study time, continue with, continue to read chapter 1, but I want to go to chapter 2, because they were doing well. They were in harmony with the Lord. They were learning. So the enemy saw this and had to come and put some kind of stop to it. Now remember, everybody fall into one of four categories according to the parable of the sower. But see, those that have a good and honest heart, a good heart, they bear fruit. Everybody else couldn't bear fruit. Colossians 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. See, he had the same thing that was forming in Laodicea was the same conflict in Colossians, but they got something that the Laodiceans may have rejected. Verse 2 says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid, watch this, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, and many will try this.